ever-vigilant God, through the words of Scripture, through our song, through communion around your table of grace, wake us up to our potential to bring life, love, and healing to our world. Amen. It is an inert time of year here in the Pacific Northwest. The cloudy skies and rain and soggy short days hinder our desire and ability to move and to be as active as we are on long summer days. We sometimes envy those animals that hibernate and simply sleep until spring arrives. For some of us, it also feels like an inert time in our nation and our world. In the face of all that's wrong with our lives, our communities, and the deterioration of respect, decorum, integrity, trust, and collaboration, we sometimes feel inert. We feel unable to move and to act, or to even know what to try and do in the face of it all. It's kind of like having a nightmare where you're lying on the railroad tracks and hear the whistle of an oncoming train, but your body is paralyzed and you can't get it to move. The text of the hymn we will sing in just a few minutes speaks to just such a situation. Listen to the first two verses. Each winter, as the year grows older, we grow older too. The chill sets in a little colder. The verities we knew seem shaken and untrue. When race and class cry out for treason, when sirens call for war, they overshout the voice of all we held dear before. So it is that in the midst of this dark, soggy time of year, in the midst of the cold that has set in the midst of things we have held dear that have been shaken, and in the midst of voices drowning out reason and calm, comes Jesus' words to his disciples about the aftermath of great suffering. That is where we picked up the text, which is a continuation and ending to what has gone before it in what is referred to as the little apocalypse from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus' message to his disciples that still rings through the ages for us as well is, beware, keep alert, keep awake. He repeats it three times. Yet in the very next chapter of Mark, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples and asks them to keep awake and pray, they are unable to do it. They fall asleep, not just once, but three times they fall asleep. Have you ever fallen asleep when you are supposed to be awake or struggled to stay awake? Whether it's behind the wheel of a car or in a classroom listening to a lecture or in church listening to this very sermon or a different sermon, we are all vulnerable to involuntary dozing. Our bodies are not made to be perpetually awake. So how on earth are we supposed to be able to do what Jesus asks of us? How do we move from a state of inertness to a state of alertness? Well, we get some clues when we jump ahead to see what happened to those sleeping disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Some might have thought that the disciples should have been fired on the spot, that Jesus should have disowned them or something worse. Yet what Jesus actually does is to wake them up and keep them by his side. He says to them, "Get up, let us be going." Jesus didn't give up on them, and he doesn't give up on us. We also get some clues from the last three verses of hymn number 252. After the somewhat somber first two verses, it continues and makes a helpful turn, says hymn writer William Gay. "Yet I believe beyond believing that life can spring from death, that growth can flower from our grieving, that we can catch our breath and turn transfixed by faith." So even as the sun is turning to journey to the north, the living flame in secret burning can kindle on the earth and bring God's love to birth. O child of ecstasy and sorrows, O prince of peace and pain, brighten today's world by tomorrow's. Renew our lives again. Lord Jesus, come and reign. We are reminded once again at the beginning of this Advent season that we are to watch, keep alert, and be awake to the words of Christ, which do not pass away. Many biblical scholars believe that the Gospel of Mark was written during the Jewish revolt against the Romans, just prior to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. A disciple's comments about the greatness of the temple is what led to Jesus' words in chapter 13, a portion of which we heard read today. I'm sure it was hard for those first disciples to fathom the destruction of the temple because of its greatness. Likewise, before September 11th, 2001, we never fathomed that the Trade Center towers in New York could have been destroyed and brought down in a matter of minutes before our very eyes. Says Jesus, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Being aware, alert, and staying awake to the words of Jesus in a world in which we are bombarded daily by the words of others is not an easy task. Yet we are not expected to do this by ourselves. The night watch shift is shared among multiple people to make it possible. God calls us into community so we can watch together, listen to the words of Jesus together, be alert to that which would lead us astray, and voice our concerns to one another. Sunday after Sunday, we gather around this table to be fed by the lifeblood of that which awakens us and feeds us. It does much more than caffeine in coffee. Through the work of the Holy Spirit working within us, alongside us, and making the way before us, we have in the past, can in the present, and will in the future move from inertness to alertness. Wakefulness, alertness, consciousness is a good thing, and we embrace it by being fully aware of our limitations, but also rejoicing in our potential. Being fully awake and conscious opens us to the depths of understanding others who are different from us and understanding a very complex world so that we might better serve God's purposes for us in the world. So wake up, stand up, And seeing of the love and faithfulness God continues to bring to birth in us and in our world, stand up. Thanks be to God.